Why settle for court jesters when you can have three kings? Here are your hosts, Roy, Davari, and Dan. It's the Three Kangs of the Midway Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast, or Kangs, depending on the vernacular. Well, the Bears shocked me because I thought they were going to get skull stomped.
Yo, shocked the hell out of me too.
And the defense showed up. They held someone in the 12 points, bro. So
yeah, got to give Eberflus credit.
Consider me shocked. Yeah,
that defense is getting better under Flus too, week after week. With him calling the plays, it's like that defense is getting better.
Yeah. Yeah,
because we ain't played nobody, no offensive-worthy opponent yet, so.
I mean, but still, though, I mean, he was able to, he held one team to, 19, and then the next one to 12?
Yeah.
So that's trending in the right direction. We'll see what happens with tougher competition, though.
Oh, yeah.
However.
You know, who we playing? Oh, yeah, we got a good offensive opponent coming up.
Yeah, we got the Chargers coming up.
Sunday.
Absolutely. Yep. So
in LA. So there's going to be
a matchup.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely going to be a matchup. But, you know, what I've noticed since Caleb Williams is no longer the flavor of the month, right? Can we all agree on that? in Bears fandom, everybody's done with the slurping of Caleb Williams, correct? After back-to-back losses to Notre Dame, Utah, and he's probably going to face probably another two to three more losses. We tried to tell you. However, no one wanted to listen. So now they went from Caleb Williams to now Tyson Bagent. And let's get this clear while you're listening to this podcast, folks. Neither one of us has anything against Tyson Bagent, okay? He plays for our beloved Chicago Bears. We are happy that he is the number two. But when you try to tell us that he is a number one and is better than our number one, like Will likes to post this skit. It's not even a skit. This interview with DJ
Funk Flex.
With DJ Funk Flex, where he says,
At what point
does that crack kick into play? Because if you think...
Yeah, it got retarded, dude. Yeah, it got a little stupid.
I want people to understand something, okay? Like I posted on Twitter or X, whatever the hell we call it these days. I posted on there that Tyson Bagent is actually a better fit for what Luke Getsy is trying to do, which is the dink and dunk shit all underneath, right? He wants it out fast. He wants quick reads. But this ain't pertinent to a sustainable offense. This is only going 5-6 yards per pop, right? So it's viable that you stay ahead of the chains, and it only works if the run game is clicking. That's not sustained success, folks, going against better defenses in the NFL. So yes, Tyson Bagent is better suited for that. However, he's not better than Justin Fields.
Yeah, he ain't better than suited for no.
In any stretch of the imagination.
Go ahead, Dan.
Any stretch of the imagination. And that is a huge indictment.
That got me choked up.
Go ahead, Dan.
Absolutely. That is a huge indictment on the guy who was hired to get the most out of Justin Fields. Because, again, you are failing at your job miserably to make this offense suitable to the quarterback that you have. It's like, who the hell gave you the keys to the Lambo knowing you did not have a license? Flat out.
Yeah.
Who gave you the keys?
It don't make sense. It really don't make sense. Like, people are, you know, prisoners of the moment. They have knee-jerk reactions all the time. I'm going to disagree with you, Nez. I don't think he's better suited for any scheme, offense, or anything like that than Justin Fields. Justin Fields can just do way more. He presents an element that defenses have to prepare for, no matter what scheme you have. Right? He's a guy that can take it to the house, like anybody can. Right? He can break it. You know, I mean, we've seen him break off several 70-plus yarders last year. Right? So it is what it is. I think he's better. Let me clarify that.
I said he's better suited for the bullshit Getsy is calling, but I'm clearing it up. I'm cleaning it up a little bit.
If he's better suited for Getsy, for his inept play calling, that's what I'm saying.
That's what I meant by saying he's better suited for the bullshit he likes to call. That's not sustainable.
Okay, all right.
It's unrealistic.
I hear you. So, you know, and that's what it is. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, this guy is, you know, he went out there, he threw, what was it, 14 passes at the line of scrimmage or behind the line of scrimmage?
Yes, yes.
Come on, man, you can't. Yeah. That's not sustainable in the NFL.
Absolutely.
Right? That's number one. Number two, at some point you got to throw the ball downfield. When they threw the Hail Mary, they pulled him out the game because he's got a noodle of an arm. Right, we know this. Everybody knows this. So when you do stuff like that,
he even knows
that lets the defense know that you can't, you know. And then somebody
he ain't like Nate Peterson got a rocket either.
No.
He ain't like that dude got a cannon.
And then somebody posted a video like of the combine where he threw like a 45-yard pass, and I'm like, bro, that
against
dude
air.
Ran he against nobody. Nobody's rushing. Air. There was nobody playing defense. And he got a running start and threw that ball like a javelin to get him 45 yards down the field.
Like how kids in Pop Warner is throwing the deep ball.
When they put a little ball on the net in the Olympics, they spin around. And, oh. What do you call it?
What is that?
That's the shot put.
The shot put.
Yeah.
Yeah, the shot put.
And I
man, mugging, they go 30 yards.
And they just, it's like they making you people dislike Tyson Bagent. You know what I mean? Like, and I tried to not get caught up in that because I was like, he's a cool story, bro. Yeah, he's cool. He seems like a cool kid. You know, he won his first NFL football game. He actually played decent for what they asked him to play, but people trying to make it what is not what it is, bro. Like, we seen Justin Fields launch the ball 60 yards or broken ribs in the air, and it probably would have went 70 in the freaking versus Clemson, dude. You know, and like he can throw the damn ball 70 yards. He can throw the ball 70 yards. He can break off a touchdown run for 70 yards. You can't. That's shit you can't coach. And it was a cool little game. What was it? 162 yards. And it, I mean, some of them were screens. A lot of dudes picked up yak, so it wasn't even like it was a lot of. Yeah, a lot of them picked up yak. DJ Moore, he threw a couple screens with Foreman, and they picked up a bunch of yards. That's fine. I ain't gonna say it's bad. Like, I'm not gonna be able to be like, yak is bad. Yak is good. This is what you do. But even with all the yak, he still ended up with significantly less than 200 yards. So that lets me know that people are just really looking for a reason to just shit on Justin Fields and hype up Tyson Bagent, because it's confirmation bias.
Right.
You're looking for a reason because you mean, now that dude went out there and threw for 350 yards, three touchdowns.
I'd be like, dang.
And okay.
I'm like, oh, okay. 17 yards and eight touchdowns in 2 weeks.
Yeah. And he didn't play well versus the Vikings. And it looks like the Vikings might be a little bit better than we thought they were with Brian Flores running that defense.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know, him. They just beat the 49ers on Monday night.
Kirk Cousins won a
primetime game. You know, but see, that's what happens. This confirmation bias. Now you want to ignore that the Vikings, shit, their defense might actually be legit. Mm-hmm. They shut down the Shanahan 49ers, who have a hell of a lot more weapons than we have, even with Debo being out. So now it's starting to look like, oh, the Vikings look like they were just prepared and Getsy didn't adjust and they couldn't stop that blitz and Justin ended up getting hurt. So now you out here looking like, you hyped up this guy. He's a good backup, man. Like, I don't want to bash Tyson Bagent.
No, no.
He's a Chicago Bear.
He's a solid backup.
Bashing our players.
Yeah.
He's a solid backup. Mm-hmm. Hell, we might not need a quarterback at all. You keep Justin Fields and Tyson Bagent and you're good.
Right, right. He's
if we start winning games.
He can step in and at least, you know, execute. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Regardless of what the game plan was to, you know, it was the dumbed down game plan, right? And I'm not saying that he's dumb, but at the end of the day, it was the dumbed down game plan, but he was able to execute it. That's all you want him to do.
That's it.
Execute the game plan. If he was able to do it, you know, I'm with it. That's what's up.
And so people were like, why couldn't the Bears do this when Justin Fields was there? I'm like, bro, the dude just threw 8 times.
They did the same shit. Did you not see the Green Bay game?
They threw for like 800 yards.
Yeah, the Green Bay game was a carbon copy. Only Justin went over 200 yards in that game.
That was it.
Yeah.
You know? But the thing is that they killed Justin for checking down. Oh, he has to hit that deep out. Oh, he has to hit that. He has to hit that over the middle. 75 yards downfield. He has to hit that. Oh, if he goes through his progressions, if he follows his progressions and goes through and follows his reads and his keys, you know what they are? I mean, it's clear as day. I have the all 22, bro. Like, and you played for who? And you play for who? You played where? Oh,
he should have seen this guy over here, right here.
I'm like, okay.
And
where
Justin
did you play?
Explaining you, he'd be like, well, or two.
Yeah, per the all 22.
And I couldn't see that guy. Because the passing lane.
It's like we tried to explain this to people on the last podcast. A quarterback is not going to see everything. That's why he goes to the sideline and picks up the tablet.
That's impossible.
That's why he goes to the Surface Pro.
It's impossible to see that.
Because what did I miss?
Seconds.
What look was I getting? Where was this guy at? What did he do? How did he react as soon as the ball was snapped? Because you can't. It's literally impossible to see all that. And they want to talk about Tom Brady is a good processor, blah, blah, blah. This,
you know
that,
how
third.
Rare that is?
And true enough, he is.
Tom Brady?
True enough,
that's
he is.
Rare.
But
the GOAT.
I mean, come on. We talking about, yeah.
How long did it take him to get to that,
exactly,
though?
Exactly. Exactly. Took him forever to get there, right? So, not forever like he was terrible at it, but it just took forever. It's when anybody is going to take a little bit of time. And so, when you're looking at all 22 and you're looking at the eye in the sky, yeah, you can see the whole field, but Justin Fields has a helmet on and he's 6'3".
What you see on the field.
You know what I mean? He's 6'3".
Yeah.
He's got a helmet on with, you know, at any given time, 5 to 9, 10 people standing directly in front of him in lanes and lines of sight. So while the all 22 might say, yeah, you could go this way, did he have a passing lane? We talked about that before.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? It's not always a passing lane that's open, right?
Absolutely.
So you gotta work between that, you know. So
that's
people
nice.
Just need to relax,
yeah, and
man.
Brady,
stop having these knee jerks.
And Tom Brady, I want to say about the Tom Brady. People just need to. Tom Brady played a long time in the NFL. Go back and look at his stats his first 5 years. Tom Brady wasn't throwing 5,000 yards. He was a game manager. That's how you know a lot of people like are young and haven't watched a lot of sports.
Yes.
They known that they would have known. Tom Brady didn't become Tom Brady towards the second half of his career. He was a game manager. Even when he won the Super Bowl, like, people didn't look at Tom Brady like the GOAT. People were just like, people looked at Tom Brady like kind of how they look at Brock Purdy right now, probably.
Yeah.
Like,
and
oh, he's a good game manager.
They forget how many all pros was on that defense. That defense kept the Patriots in a lot of games. And all Tom Brady did was methodically work them down the field until he learned. Again, we said after how many years? 5. Meaning Justin is in year 3. People are so caught up on this microwave success. I stated clearly, it usually takes 5 years for a quarterback to fully grasp the NFL. The coverages, the looks, and everything else. It takes about 5 years. Now, we understand that we have some anomalies there. You know, Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes. Those guys are rare. Very rare. Very, very rare. Okay? Look at Tua. This is year, what, 5 for him? Year 4, year 5?
I think so.
Yeah, because he came in 2017,
I got a stat. Yeah.
He came in 17, so this is year 5 for Tua.
Yeah.
He's finally grasping.
Yeah, people wanted to give up on him.
He really didn't get in until year 4, which was last year.
Yeah.
Remember, his first 3, they won. For the first 3, everybody in Miami wanted him gone. Wanted him gone. So again, let that sink in, folks. Justin, albeit his third year in the league, he still hasn't had two full seasons of being a starting quarterback. Come on, people. Yeah. I mean, we preaching today.
Yeah, Tom Brady didn't throw for 4,000 yards. Tom Brady didn't throw for 4,000 yards until his sixth NFL season.
Well, say that again.
He didn't throw for 4,000 yards until his sixth NFL season. He was 28 years old.
Thank you. And I said, how many years did it take for a quarterback to fully grasp the NFL? 5 years.
And that's what I'm talking about when people talk about that, when they hop on internet and they talk all this shit. Like, we've been watching the guy. I've been watching football since the 85 Bears. I was a little bitty ass kid when they won. So I've been watching this. So I know people like, oh, Tom Brady, that's when he took off. And after that, then he threw a 4,000, 35, 48. He got hurt. 43, 39, 52, 48, 43, 41, 47. He didn't do that till his fifth. Now, just imagine you would have gave up on Tom Brady because, oh, he didn't come out like Dan Marino his first year. We got to get rid of him. We draft another guy.
Gotta get rid of him.
These guys are so microwave. It's the microwave generation, bro. Like, you've seen the talent. Justin Fields is still a top. I think he was like number six in touchdowns, and he missed the last two games.
Still a top of the league.
Still a top of the league. And he already showed you what you can do with his legs. So this dude is like one of the best runners in the NFL. And this year proved that he's one of the top passers. And you just like, scrap it. I'm going to get rid of him. I'm going to put him in. Like, what the hell is wrong with you?
Right,
people,
back-to-back weeks.
Like, you might.
Yeah.
You might can sell me on Caleb Williams, but you can't sell me on Tyson Bagent at all. Like, he's a backup.
All the more reason.
Just stop that.
All the more reason why I told everybody. You're going to be pissed off when you realize they're not going to move on from Justin Fields at the end of the season. It's a strong likelihood that's not happening, folks. Because, again, I don't think our GM is stupid. I don't think we have a dumb GM. I don't think we have a dumb president. These are two football people, folks. That's what y'all don't understand. That's what a lot of people don't understand. The old days of doing business are over, and y'all got to get out of that. Okay, wash, rinse, and repeat, get another quarterback. They not looking at that because that's not sustained success. They're looking at it as, okay, the kid, this is third year, but it ain't going to kill us if we re-sign him to a Daniel Jones deal. We got the money. It's not going to kill us, number one. Number two, it's sustained success. We put him in a system that's viable for him. Now, we understand that we was brought in, you know, ragtag, hire this person, then damn, oh, wait a minute, we got to hire that person, hire this person. Okay, but now we have two collective football minds working together after this season, coming together and figuring out what is best.
Not only that, but Daniel Jones' deal was done this past off season.
Yes, indeed.
So he had four years. He had four years before they made that deal happen.
Yep.
We're in Justin's third. We're at the beginning of Justin's third year.
Yes.
He got 31 career starts.
31.
We're at the beginning of his third year. Like, let's pump the brakes a little bit. Understand that, he can go through this year. It's not even a make or break year.
It ain't. Next year is.
The make or break year is next year.
Yes.
To be honest. You want to see. Okay, is this one? What do I have in the kid in this fourth year?
After you've gotten him an Olu,
then you pick up the fifth deal.
After you've gotten him a Marvin Harrison, yes, sir.
And then you'll figure that out, and you'll say, okay, after we picked up the fifth year deal, now we start working on your contract.
Yes,
and we'll see where we lie. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But you know, for everybody who wants this instant gratification, man, relax, man. Sometimes you have to let guys develop, and the team has to develop, and it's hard to see what that development looks like when you're in the middle of a complete teardown and rebuild of a 53-man roster. I pointed out to somebody the other day, if Eddie Jackson and Cody White here are gone at the end of
this year,
they're
coming off the books.
That's the last two guys, except for what, the long snapper from the 2018 team.
It's a complete
rebuild, bro.
That's facts.
People got to realize that.
That's facts. So take that into consideration, and then the fact that Getsy ain't gonna be here calling the plays next year. I'm just gonna be honest with you on that. His ass won't be here. Okay.
And the only reason he's here right now is because they can't let him go right now.
Exactly. Eberflus.
Yeah.
Probably won't be here. Okay, so I want y'all to understand.
I think he can scapegoat. No, I think Eberflus might still be here.
We'll see. You know,
he might pull a Lovey and fire everybody.
Yeah, because he could fire the OC and say, you know what, I made a mistake there, you know, and that buys him a little bit more time or whatever.
True.
It depends how he finishes the season, in my opinion. Like if they can end up becoming respectable, they win 6 or 7 games
with a solid top.
Like, you know what I mean? Because it's better because we should have beat the Broncos.
Right.
Yes. We should have beat the Broncos. So we should have 3 right now.
Right.
So we should be what's our record? We 2-5.
2-5. We should be 3-4.
We should be 3-4. Legitimately. We should be 3-4. And you can say that's an improvement. Because we only won 3 games last year. We already got 2. So if they can end up with 6 games, he can be like, look, they know the roster shit. They be like, look, I doubled the win from last year. The roster shit. We had all these injuries on the offensive line. Give me more talent. I'm gonna go, my roster building philosophy. I want to break it
down. Let's do it
real quick. Because you guys kind of touched on it. You were talking about Olu. That's what you do when you do this restart the rookie quarterback setting. That's stupid shit, right? That mom said that dumb shit. That's why he's on ESPN and not GM at the team, right? You have to build a team. I don't care, but like people, there's no, I said this last time, there's no quarterback Jesus, bro. You have to fix the roster. Okay, if you can go get an ass kicking, you can give me Trent Williams at left tackle, Darnell Wright at right tackle. You can go sign me another guard, you know, or center, you know, that goes in there, Tevin Jenkins and Nate Davis. I mean, it was unfortunate. He was playing well before he got hurt. Mm-hmm. Now you got a rock solid offensive line. You go give me Marvin Harrison, a pair of DJ Moore. Resign Mooney to a decent little contract, like the team friendly. He's your slot guy now. He's your number 3. You might be cooking, bro.
Yeah.
You get you an edge rusher, whoever's the top edge rusher on the free agent market. You sign him. Maybe you bring back in Ngogwey. Draft another guy in the draft. You just pour these resources to this team, bro. I swear, that team would be vastly improved. Mm. You just can't like ignore all these other positions and just think you're going to get the quarterback to save the day. You have to build a team around the quarterback. That's and then nice. You can win. Now, if Justin Fields, after all that, isn't the guy, guess what? You have the draft capital that if you needed to move up in the draft to get a quarterback, you can.
Yes.
But just thinking you're going to draft Caleb Williams and then you still got all these other holes on your roster. You draft Caleb Williams, now what you going to do? Wait, you're not going to draft the tackle? Now you got to pick between Marvin Harrison Jr. and the left tackle.
Right.
But you could have had both.
Yep. So
now you got the quarterback. Now you like, now you got to push off another knee because you replaced in a position that you didn't allow to develop. And you're just creating more problems. And this is what the Bears have been doing. We wasted all that draft capital to trade up a Mitch Trubisky, and we had to replace him anyway. That's what happens. Sometimes you just got to put the quarterback in there, like Jared Goff, like Tua Tagovailoa, and just ride the shit out.
Yeah.
Ride it out.
And hope he develops. Because I'm going to try him for 2-3 years, get rid of him. Because you're going to do the same thing to Caleb Williams, bro. He's going to come behind this team and play behind that trash-ass offensive line. He's going to get his teeth kicked in. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be calling for the next guy in 2 or 3 years. This is what y'all do. I know what y'all do. I've been watching the fan base for 30 years, bro. Mm-hmm. Longer than 30. Since I was like 6-7 years old, bro. I've been watching y'all for 3 decades, almost 4. And y'all do the same thing over and over. Put a guy like Jay Cutler, give him a shitty off, get him throwing a Devin Hester, who's a kick returner, who's a GOAT, but he's your number one wide receiver. And then he's like, I can't throw to Devin Hester. You got Greg Olsen, you get rid of him. And then you're like, what's wrong with this guy? You put him by Jamarcus Webb as his left tackle.
Yeah.
And he's there getting his shit kicked in. His wide receiver ain't open. You're like, what's wrong with this guy? He threw for 4,800 yards in Denver.
Right.
He can't even crack 4,000 here. It's because you put trash around him.
Mm-hmm.
Build the team around the quarterback, bro. There is no quarterback defense. Build the team.
That's a fact.
I'm done preaching.
Wow. You know, we got to give you applause for that. That's facts.
I mean,
people got to understand that. You know, there's, again, no one is against Tyson Bagent. But again, I like Yurko said, we know what his limitations are.
Mm-hmm.
The coaching staff knows what his limitations are. And they're trying to coach around his limitations. But it just seems to me, you know, and again, Getsy handpicked Tyson Bagent. And it seems like when Bagent comes in the game, Luke Getsy calls a different set of plays. Or it's like he calls different shit to highlight Tyson Bagent's strengths. Is it just me? Or am I tripping? Is it just me or do it look different
Tyson
shit
Bagent
going on?
Did that much, bro. Like,
yeah, he didn't do
I don't
it.
Think he
do
really did that much.
No.
It just
seems... I think the guys just picked up yak. It just seemed like to me, like a lot of that short stuff, guys were like, the run game was awesome, dude. Foreman was like,
yes,
killing food.
You know,
Foreman went
That's the thing that pisses me off about the whole
Why was he not dressing?
From a standpoint of, no, not that. What pisses me off is that we don't even talk about it. Most people on Twitter, most people, Bears fans, it's all about Bajent right now.
Yeah, you know.
The dude had 162 yards. 162 yards. That's not impressive. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Why?
We're talking about the NFL level. It's not impressive, right?
You said 162.
You know, we got a guy in a 162, bro.
First half
like 162.
Numbers.
That's what we're talking about.
Justin have had 200 yards in the first half.
Yeah, 214. You know, and three touchdowns. But, you know, we're not even talking about the guy who wasn't dressing. He comes in, runs for 89 yards and two touchdowns, hit three balls in the backfield for 31 yards and another touchdown. 100 plus yards from scrimmage, three touchdowns. He's not even getting, you know, the praise that he should get. You know, everybody talked about Jalen Johnson not getting takeaways. He had two picks in that game.
Yeah.
Two picks in the game, right? And a pick six.
Four points on the board.
We're not talking about that.
Yeah.
You know,
and Edmonds have a pick, too?
Terrell Edmonds, yeah.
Edmonds had a pick, too.
And that's back-to-back games.
Yeah.
That's back-to-back games of him getting interceptions and getting takeaways. We're not talking about some of the good stuff that we've seen. Instead, we're talking about mediocrity. This is what I meant by a long time ago, years ago, bro. I said it years ago. Bears fans are used to mediocrity, mm-hmm. and they embrace mediocrity on a level that I've never seen before. Like, we are okay with having mediocrity.
That's facts.
And that's what I mean. Like, Jack Sanborn, good player. He's not a starter in the NFL, but he's a great depth piece, right? But there are people in this fan base that love that man with no, you know, he's going to be good. He's going to be good. Bro, it's Jack Sanborn. He's a good player, but he's never going to be a Mike linebacker. He's never going to be a dominant linebacker in the NFL. It's not going to happen.
He's Hunter.
He'll make a play from here and there, you know.
Yeah.
Time to time. Yeah.
He's a Sam. Yeah, that's what Sam. He was a Sam backer. Yeah.
They embrace it like nobody else, man. I don't understand it. I don't get it. You have a guy that could clearly, he ran for 1,200 yards, eight touchdowns last year. In two games, back-to-back games, he threw for almost 800 yards and eight touchdowns with one pick. And then he had a slow game the other game, got injured and played half the game. And now we're on to the next guy. After you saw that, you saw what he did for them two games. You saw what he did with the running game last year. And we're like, nah, cast that aside. I want this mediocre dude who can't throw the ball downfield, who's so bad at throwing the ball downfield that we'll pull him on a Hail Mary. It's crazy, bro. It's nuts. What else can you say about it, bro?
Nah, that's true.
That's mediocrity, bro.
That's mediocrity.
They love it.
That's why I say. And the ones who the ones who embrace the mediocrity is the baloney brigade, the baloney breath warriors. And I'm just being honest. The fucking baloney breath warriors. It's a little inside thing that we got going. If you know, you know. But the baloney breath warriors are the ones that embrace the mediocrity in this town, in the city. They embrace it wholeheartedly. And, you know, again, like you said, if you just looking for reasons to shit on Justin Fields, flat out. But I told you, these baloney breath warriors, the baloney brigade, they out here in full strength.
Charles Leno, bro. Did you know Charles Leno had that many fans, bro?
No.
Until they traded him?
Exactly.
We should have never got rid of Charles Leno.
Yeah.
Mediocre.
Beyond.
They love it, bro.
Bro, we used to pull up plays where he was there doing the hokey pokey on the offensive line, bro. Literally blocking one.
Sam must have forgot fans, too.
Blocking one.
Yeah.
He literally sat there and
Sam
did the hokey pokey.
Sam wasn't as bad, bro. Sam wasn't as bad. I still believe Sam wasn't as bad.
No, ain't nobody as bad as my man from Old Dominion, bro. who they had in there at guard. And dude blocked nobody. And Dan know exactly who I'm talking about. I can't think of dude name.
Rashard Coward.
Yes, my Lord, bro. What nobody as bad as that. And I'm like, how is he still starting?
I feel bad for Rashard because, like, he was a defensive lineman at Old Dominion.
Exactly.
He never played.
It was one play.
Like, he threw him in there. I'm like, come on, dog.
Bruh, it was one play.
You got this man out here looking terrible.
It was one play. They snapped the ball. Dog just turned around and looked like, damn. He didn't block nobody. He just turned around, standing there looking like, damn. They got back there quick as hell. I said,
he's thinking like, I was able to do that this. when I played defense. Yeah, he's a defensive tackle, bro.
I said, duh, who keeps starting him? Who keeps starting him? They need to be fired. Like, who keeps starting him? There's no way you going in there on film day and you looking at this tape and you just looking like, damn, like, just nobody, huh? You just ain't going to block nobody, ain't going to put a hat on nothing. You just stood up and turned around. Literally, he stood up and turned around. So
I remember that.
That was some crazy shit. That was crazy. That was wild. But
I was wild.
What I'm seeing up and down the timeline, especially on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, is, like I said, these baloney breath warriors coming out in full force. You know, first they were screaming for Caleb Williams. You know, Then, of course, he got his ass popped 2 weeks straight. You know, lost to the same teams that he lost to last year outside of Notre Dame. And it looked pedestrian as ever. And then they went from that to, you heard a little bit of Drake May rumblings, but guess what? Drake May got his ass popped too and got embarrassed against a 1-5 Virginia Cavaliers squad.
Mm-hmm.
So now there was no rumblings on that. So the Baloney Brigade and the Baloney Breath Warriors, Tyson Bagent, that's who it is. That's the guy. That's our next guy. That's who we're going to roll with. He's way better than Justin Fields. Look how that offense is moving. Look how everything is going. Look how smooth it's flowing. That's our man. We're going to stick by him, and he's going to start over Fields, and you guys just need to accept it and stop being Justin Fields apologists. What crack? It's like...
When did that crack kick in?
162 yards.
At what point did that crack kick in?
First there was the cocaine. But at what point did that crack kick in? He threw 162 yards, most of it was yak. And all of a sudden, that's all it took for you.
That's all it took. Because you was looking for anybody.
You just don't like Justin Fields. You just want to
get that's what it is. You just don't like him. Okay, we get it. I'd rather you say that than to give me these stupid ass reasons up and down for why he's not the guy. Yep. When we're giving you every reason for why he is. You know, somebody had to say Justin's played horribly over the last 2 weeks. I had to pull up his numbers. I said horribly. Eight touchdowns and 617 yards passing over the last 2 weeks. That's horrible to you? That's playing horribly?
You just don't like him.
At all.
Just don't like him. That's all
he
it
was
is.
He awful against the Minnesota Vikings. Well, like so did Brock Purdy. Your point.
So did Tyson Bagent. Shit, he looked like they threw. He got strip sacked and picked.
Exactly. And threw that wounded bird across the field that fluttered for like 5 seconds in the damn air that my man had to do a 50-yard comeback for, or that shit was getting picked off. I was just expecting a pick on that one. Like, oh, this shit getting picked off.
Tyler Scott. He broke into a full.
Tyler Scott.
Backwards,
yes.
Running back towards the line of scrimmage,
and threw that wounded bird. Looked like a duck with one wing.
Ran a 4.2.
Jesus, like
4.2 speed came in handy.
And you know, again, like I said, the kid is good for what he is. He's a great quality backup in the NFL.
Hey, Nez, what'd you say last week? You would have batted that junk down?
Yeah, I'd have knocked that shit down. I wouldn't have caught that. I'd have batted that shit down. Like, man, get this shit out of here, dog. You ain't fucking up my yak. You ain't fucking up my yards per catch either. Like, I'd have batted that shit down. Like, man, get this shit the fuck out of here, dog. Walk back to the huddle. Like, man, don't do that shit no more. About to get, because if I stand up and catch you, you about to get my fucking head taken off. I'm gonna get blasted. Sitting there waiting. That shit is like a punt return. I'm sitting there waiting on it to come down. Meanwhile, I got these motherfuckers running at me full speed, about to decapitate my ass. Like, man, I ain't catching that shit. Get that shit out of here. But I'm happy for him because the kid said Justin Fields was integral with helping him, getting him prepared for the week. How can you hate on somebody like that?
That's what they do.
If he was an asshole, that would totally speak to his character, right? And he wouldn't care about getting Bajent ready, like a la Brett Favre, a la Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? But y'all praised them.
And he was happy for the dude, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Y'all praised them, though. You know? This is why I call y'all Baloney Brigade and the Baloney Breath Warriors. Those that know who I'm talking about. If you know, you know. Baloney Breath. You Baloney Breath motherfuckers get on this app every day and try to divide the fan base like it's Justin Fields or Bajent. We ain't doing that. But what we telling you is...
It's
not even that. What we telling you is, we're telling you close. That he's limited. Extremely limited, folks. And let's accept it for what it is. If we can steal a victory with Tyson Bajent, cool. I'm all for it. But don't be expecting miracles. He's not Joe Montana, folks. Whether you want to believe the shit or not, he's extremely limited.
I also got to say, too, man, like, with the win, too, the defense held them to 12 points. Do you know how many games we would have won last year if we had the defense held somebody to 12 points? That stretch where we were going 30 points a game?
Yeah.
We would have won every single game.
We would have went 5-0.
Handedly. We probably would have made a wild card.
Yeah.
We probably would have went to a wild card. So don't ignore, this is why when people talk about quarterback wins is dumb, because it's so many things that play a part. Mm-hmm. If you give the Chicago Bears, if Justin Fields played games, I ain't even got to look it up, bro, where the defense was held the team to 12 points, I guarantee we'd have won like 90% of those games. Because I can't recall a game where they didn't put up at least 12 points, 14 points. Mm-hmm. So you can't, so if they did the same thing, we would have just won all games. And now you got a whole different picture. You're not looking at his record like, oh, he only won 5 games. Well, because it ain't all on him, dude. You got to have the defense hold. Now, when he comes back, if they hold somebody to 12 points and they score 28, we're going to win. So it's not all Tyson Bajent. People are making it like seeing like Tyson Bajent came out here and threw all these yards, ran for all these yards, and he's the whole reason. The defense played lights out, bro.
It was so many
factors.
They
got 3 turnovers.
It was so many factors beyond his control that attributed to that win. The defense, the running game, the O-line, the pressure that they was getting on the quarterback. Defensively, it was so many things that were beyond his control that contributed heavily to that win. Now, with Justin on the back end against the better teams, there are a lot of factors that are beyond Justin's control that attributes to losses. Okay? The offensive line not blocking. You know what I'm saying? The run game being non-existent. The defense being ass that day. And that makes for a long day. See, what people don't understand is that they're going out and asking Tyson Bajent to manage the game. Okay? Manage, meaning don't fuck it up. All you got to do is just don't fuck it up. They're asking Justin Fields to win the game. Big difference, folks. Big difference.
Mm-hmm. Big time difference. Way big difference. And that's the thing, you know, like somebody alluded to it. Somebody said something about it. I forgot who it was, but, you know, I think it was Nez. I think you said it in Spaces the other day we had going where, you know, Getsy will get up at the mic and say, you know, well, Justin wasn't able to do this. And you're asking him to do some superhuman stuff.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying. You're depending on him doing something that most quarterbacks can't do, right? And it's a difference. Like while, okay, that's in his repertoire to do that, right? To make something happen out of nothing, to do something superhuman, extend the play, break 70 yards, and go score a touchdown. That's all well within reason, right? But do you depend on him doing that every single play? Do you say now I'm at a disadvantage because Justin didn't make a miraculous escape and play? And that's the difference. That's, you know, when you got Dan Marino or Tom Brady or Peyton Manning or Michael Vick or these great quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson even, do they depend on that from Lamar? No. They built something around him. Now, true enough, he's going to make 5 to 7 plays that are spectacular during the day, but you're not asking him to do it 25 to 20 times a game. And that's what the Bears are doing with Justin Fields. In my opinion, they're asking him to make spectacular play after spectacular play time and time again, and they're depending on that rather than saying, you know what, cover us on the 5 to 7 plays that we jack up, or the 5 to 7 plays that we call that are bogus. Cover us on that, and then, you know, we'll make sure we take care of the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Getsy's job. That's what he has to do.
And he's failing at it miserably at this point.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, they did better the last couple of games, but now before we got the steamroll, and that's kind of how it is, we started to make the progress, and then we had the setback.
Right.
You know, so now he's out. You know, hopefully he should have been building on those couple games, but
right.
It is right. What it is, man. Football's a crazy sport, dude. There's a lot of moving parts, man. Yeah.
What do y'all think about the offensive line?
Was solid. The offensive line was solid. Yep. I like the fact that they moved Tevin Jenkins back to the right side where he's more comfortable at and put him with Darnell Wright over here, you know, which was a wall. Now, again, do it with Olu, you know, with this upcoming draft. Get Olu over there to the left, you know, and you know, find another guard. You know what they say? Well, what are you going to do with Nate Davis?
Like, he was good.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what are you going to do with Nate
Davis?
But
he was actually playing pretty good.
Yeah, Nate. Yeah,
he was actually pretty good. I can't lie.
I mean, if Tevin plays, he's actually pretty good. Tevin can play the left. I think he can play the left just as well.
Mm-hmm.
His main thing is he got to stay healthy. If he can stay healthy.
That's what I was going to say.
Man, you know, stay healthy and things can work with this squad. And pretty much all you need is a center. You know, but I'll tell you another thing too. Did you see how engaged and how happy the offensive line was? It wasn't because they were pass blocking, doing the suck it crotch chop.
You know, what I'm saying?
It wasn't because they was pass blocking though. It was because they was run blocking.
Yep.
And I tell people this all the time. As offensive linemen, they like to push other people around.
Yeah.
You don't get to do that in pass blocking. You get to do that in run blocking.
No. Mm-hmm.
So they're, you know, and these guys are nastier guys like Tevin. You know, Darnell Wright, Lucas, those guys want to impose their will on somebody. And when you're able to run the ball, then you do that. So the Bears, this is a step in the right direction as far as understanding who you are as a team, your identity. Those guys were much more engaged, and it's because they was running the ball down this team's throat, right? So let them get some confidence, and they swagger up front in the trenches by running the ball and impose your will on people, and it'll spread to the passing game. They'll play better as pass blockers later on because they're more engaged in the game. They're having more fun. And you know, some people say, well, that's, you know, how is that the case? Because you're a professional, you should be able to do this, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but it's a mentality, bro. It's a mind. Yeah. We're people, bro, at the end of the day. You could go out there all day, and if we're not doing what I enjoy doing, I'm not going to be as engaged as I would be if I was doing what I wanted to be doing.
Right.
It's the same with people at their job. You ever work at a job where you're not too enthusiastic about it? Okay, I'll do the bare minimum just to get by. But then when you're enthusiastic about your job and you like it, man, you go above and beyond. You do whatever you need to do.
Absolutely.
So,
just getting that check.
Yeah,
that's a fact, bro.
I'm in that transition now. Exactly. I know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
You be like, I'm gonna do my time, and I'm up out of here.
That's a fact.
Get my check.
That's a fact.
You're right, but it affects. It wears the defense down. The defense is beat up. You know, you've been pushed, you've been pancaked, and now when they run their play action, they biting because they're worried about the run. They be getting hit in the head all day. Now the play action work. That's what we wanted them to do from the jump. This is what the Shanahan offense, even though he ain't, and we saw he's not a direct descendant in the shows, because that's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to pound you. And now that play action, now those bootlegs, now those nakeds start to work. You know, because the defense, they're tired. They've been getting beat up. The cornerbacks are beat up because they've been coming down in run support. Getting pancaked by Cole Kmet. Yep. You know what I mean? Like, they're getting hit. They're getting hit. Yep. They don't want to get hit. They're getting hit by linemen. Yep. No cornerback want to take on no guard, you know? And that's what starts working, but you got to do it. And thankfully, I think the defense allowed them to be able to run it, because when you're giving up so many points, it's hard to really just focus on running the ball like that. So, the defense, giving them short fields, creating takeaways, actually scoring points. Mm-hmm. And and just pound the ball. I never understood. We got all these running backs, bro. We want to drop back and throw the ball 40 times.
I never understood not starting or not
short pass.
Not dressing Deion. You got Travis Homer out there, bro. It should have been Deontay Foreman, Roschon Johnson, and Khalil Herbert all season.
Herbert.
But instead, he was throwing other people in there. I don't know what they was doing with that. It makes no sense. But you got a monster. And Foreman's got speed. He's got power. You know what I mean? He's not
even going to
run you over. He's going to straight run you over. And he's athletic, too. So.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to pound you. And Roschon's kind of the same player, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then you use Khalil Herbert as a change of pace back. Mm-hmm. You can build a whole offense just based on the running game.
Mm-hmm.
An efficient offense.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Fishing off. And the Bears, I want to give props too to Billings, man. Billings is a hell of a signing, dude.
Yeah, he's been playing.
The Bears are a run defense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We don't get gashed no more, mainly because Big Billings and Justin Jones and Jervon Dexter and Zach Pickens in there clogging up the lanes, dude. And, I mean, Walker, we're way better in the run game. People don't just run on us all day.
Right.
So if we can stop the run and we can cover and we can get to the quarterback, which we seem to be kind of getting to the quarterback a little bit better.
A little bit.
So what are your expectations moving forward for Sunday night? I don't have any, to be totally honest.
Again, nah,
I do believe that Khalil Mack and I believe Khalil Mack and
Bosa
are going to wake everybody up to the real world, okay? And I'm a whole firm. I think it's going to be a shit show. I do. I believe it's going to be a shit show on Sunday night. It's going to get ugly. And this is not wishing no ill will on my team or anything. I'm realistic. I just don't see it happening. Not against them. I don't see it happening. So you can call that short game all you want. They got film now, and they know what the game plan is going to be. It's going to be a lot of ground, going to be a lot of run game, going to be a lot of quick action passes, screens, slants, nothing deep, so they don't have to worry about that. Now, if he proves me wrong, hey, he proves me wrong, and I will be the first one to say that, hey, he proved me wrong. But given the fact that Getsy was trying to hide a lot of his inefficiencies last weekend. You could see it with those plays, how he was game planning and calling. That shit ain't gonna work against the Chargers, man. So, usually, like I say, they'll prove me wrong and they'll get the dub. If they do, I hope so. But I just don't see a way where this team that is limited as they are is gonna pull this one out. I just don't see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't see them winning either. You know, that's always a possibility.
Yeah.
It's NFL. But for them to win, they would have to run the ball extremely well like they did last game. And the defense is going to have to play lights out.
Because
the Chargers got horses, bro.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They got a QB cannon on. They got wide receivers. They got tight ends. They got running backs. Mm-hmm. They got edge rushers. They got all the bells and whistles. For whatever reason, they seem to can't put it all together, but they got the talent. So if that talent pops off, if you can't block Lil Mac and Joey Bosa, bro, you're going to – it'll get ugly, bro. You know, so we know Khalil Mack. He's going to get strip sacks. He ain't just going to sack you. He don't even go for the sack. He's
if you can't stop Keenan Allen, if you can't stop Keenan Allen, if you can't stop Austin Eckler, if you can't stop Everett, if you can't – that's going to be a long one.
It's going to be a long one, yeah.
That could get ugly.
It could definitely get ugly.
Yeah,
and I know Khalil Mack has got to be salivating, right? You got a second game starting rookie quarterback, right? That you're going up against with your old team. Yeah, you want to probably show out.
He got six sacks against the Raiders. So. Let's keep that in mind. Six.
Yeah. So.
And he playing a what? He playing a backup left tackle and a rookie right tackle. Darnell Wright is good, but he lose some time. Khalil Mack, a Hall of Famer, bro.
Even if not, you got Joey Bosa on the other side, right? Is he playing?
Yeah,
Bosa. So, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be a tough battle. I mean, there are always keys to victory in every single game. I'm gonna try to think about it and try to come up with something. It's gonna be hard to do. But I'll try to think of some. I'll try to think of something. I'll mention it on a Twitter or something. I don't know. But as of right now, it's
going to
be
tough.
It's going to be tough. It's going to be real tough. So
3-4 takeaways. That's how the Bears win. 3-4 takeaways, run the hell out of the ball. That's the only way they can win.
Yeah, you got to run the air out of the ball.
Run the air out of the ball. Pick them off, turn over.
You cannot depend on Tyson Bagent and say, hey, we need you to go win the game. You're going to get your ass whooped playing like that.
They not going to ask for that. They not. Trust me, they are not. He is not going to be chucking the ball 30 yards down the field. That's not going to happen, dude. You can throw 5 interceptions, dude. It'd be a mess, bro. Nope.
You can't. Oh, and one last thing before we dip up out of here. I just want people to understand, please stop saying that he processes so fast. Tyson Bagent.
It's one replay.
I get that that's what you want to believe. It's one replay. It's exactly. It's one replay. When you throw 14 of your passes behind the line of scrimmage or to the line of scrimmage, that's a one read play. That's you're not.
That's not processing.
Nah.
2.1 air yards is not processing, bro.
It's not processing.
That's the thing, man. with the fan base. This is crazy, dude. 2.1 air yards. He's processing. It's hype for the ball, fucking to DJ Moore, right?
Yeah, that's such a process. On the screen. Throw to him if it's not there. Then
fast, he's getting the ball out. It's a screen. It's a screen.
Like. Throw the ball around. If it's not there, eat it. That's all he does. That's all it is. If it ain't there, eat it. Like, all right, I'll take off then. If it's not there, fuck it. I'll try to scramble around and, like, come on, y'all.
Check down.
Yeah, please.
Oh,
be,
my God.
Please be smart when it comes to football, man. Understand that, hey, you know, he did execute the game plan, but
yeah,
he's not.
Executed.
This is not Tom Brady. This is not, you know. Oh, and by the way, Brock Purdy looks mediocre when you take that talent from around him, right?
Very.
And he's still Brandon Ayuk, he still had Kittle, he still had CMC, dude. He just
That's just 2 weeks straight. Cleveland, Minnesota, 2 weeks straight. I think they may have gotten a read on him.
Mm-hmm.
That may be all she wrote.
That's how it works sometimes.
Yeah.
When you don't have that talent to game break. See, gotta have that game-breaking talent, man.
Yeah, and what our fan base, a lot of our fan base get caught up in, they look to San Fran and see, they gave up on Trey Lance and they got Brock Purdy. Oh, we can give up on Justin Fields and go with Tyson Bagent. What you don't understand is, folks, is that Shanahan is the head coach there, okay? The head coach. So he's calling the shots. Getsy ain't calling shit in Chicago. He can't even call the plays, right? That's why his ass will be on the outs come January, looking for new employment. All right. Now, he may have handpicked Tyson Bagent. Yeah, he handpicked him. And he's going to do everything in his power to make him look good. Understand that, too. But there is no way on God's green earth that you have a specimen like Justin Fields and you play to his strength set 2 weeks straight. And then after that, all right, we're going to go back to what I want to do. Like, you some proven motherfucker out here with amplified Super Bowl rings and everything else.
Right.
You're a nobody. And then you...
I don't think it made him look better, bro. He only threw 562 yards.
Right.
And then people there was no turnovers. Okay, he still only threw 162 yards.
It's going to be turnovers when you throwing the ball down the field, folks. I mean, if you don't throw the ball down the field, there ain't going to be no turnovers. Because, shit, it's only one motherfucker that can get it. It's either going to be a completion or incompletion. Ain't gonna make your numbers look bad. Again, one read. If it's not there, eat it.
Yep.
Flat out. So, hey. Don't kill the messenger. I'm not one to make waves, but I'm just being honest with you folks. It is what it is.
And like I said, bro, I don't want people, like I started saying, I'm like, they're making me start and I like the guy and I like the kid. Because I'm just actually mad at them. I'm like, they being ridiculous right now, dude. Like, let the season play out, man. I'm pretty sure Justin's gonna come back too. He's gonna get another shot. They don't look like he needed surgery and nothing's broken.
No.
So he might have to sit out this Charger game. What, then we got to buy?
Yeah, we had
to
buy.
So yeah.
Yeah. So you know what I mean? I'm pretty sure he's probably aiming to come back right around that time, dude. He goes his last 8-9 games and to prove himself. Then you go see how it works out. But even if he ain't the guy, like he proves he ain't the guy, I don't know. I still believe in Justin Fields, but let's say he proves he ain't the guy.
Right.
Right.
Hey, Tyson Bagent ain't going to be your quarterback. You probably will get Caleb Williams. That makes more sense than Tyson Bagent. Don't come to me with the Tyson. You can sell me on Caleb Williams if Justin Fields, for whatever reason, doesn't play well for the rest of the year, which I don't think is going to happen.
Right.
But you can't sell me on Tyson Bagent other than being a backup, bro. Like, I knew people were going to lose their mind. I was watching the game like, they're going to lose their mind, and I haven't seen anything impressive. And they were losing their minds. I checked Twitter. Oh, my God! He had, like, 10 passes for 42 yards, bro. And I was like,
that's the baloney. That's the baloney breath warriors, man. Oh God!
I was like, he's playing decent, kid, decent backup. And they like, oh my God! I'm like, he got 10 completions.
I literally had an asshole on Twitter tell me that Las Vegas Raiders defense was better than the Broncos and the Commanders, and then I had to show him that the Raiders defense was ranked 30th out of 32.
The Commanders, bro. Chase.
Yeah,
Chase.
They got the Jonathan best defensive Allen. Line in the NFL.
One of
Payne.
One of the best defensive lines in the NFL. He's going to tell me that this Raiders defense.
Next to Philly.
Yeah.
Philly is just better.
And going to tell me that this Raiders defense was amongst the elite defenses in the NFL. I'm like.
Insane.
Bro,
these are the type of motherfuckers that sit there and watch Tyson Bagent complete a pass and say he's the best tackler I've seen since Joe Montana. What? And then got pissed off, and then he doubled down. And then doubled down after I showed it to him. He was say, "Well, that's what they had, so fuck you." Like, really? Why are you mad at me? You the dumbass. Why are you mad at me?
His yard per pass attempt is 5.5, and that's after the yak. Think about that, people. 5.5. That's after the yak.
That's why
that's
I said
after
it.
A guy,
yeah,
that's
why I said
after a guy catching it behind the line of scrimmage and running for something.
That's why I said his pass is
the actual air yards was. Yeah, the average it was at 2.1. Justin Fields is 12. He's double and some. Yeah, his career is basically around 12. So, that's what you do.
Triple up.
But we're not banging on the kid, man. He's a good backup. I like him, but at the end of the day, comparing him to Justin is apples to oranges.
No, it's apples to peanuts. It's apples to peanuts.
They got to stop it, man. Y'all cut it out, man. It's nonsense.
Just stop. Just quit. Just stop it, bro.
At what point
don't make people hate Tyson Bagent?
Did that crack come into play?
Crack kick in. Exactly.
So that's all I got, fellas.
That's all I got, man.
All right, well, shit, we'll be back next week. You know, we'll see what goes down, but we'll be back next week. Let this fester, like I said, and may God help us on Sunday night. So,
and on Sunday night too, I'm doing the spaces during the game. So y'all tune in, you know what I mean? Chill with us. We can laugh and joke it around a little bit in there. We're gonna have to laugh at it probably.
Oh yeah, we definitely gonna laugh because it's gonna be some smiles and cries for your ass come Sunday. It's gonna get funky. So, with that said, y'all, we out. Peace.
Man. Take it easy.
We out. Peace.